So starting out for Hunters, I'm going to begin with the Blade Dancer subclass, and similar to the Striker, we are going Intellect Discipline with no exceptions. You have an excellent super, you have some of, again, the best grenades in the game and the skip grenades, and you have a melee that has the option to recharge in about 5 seconds flat. So Intellect Discipline, that's my go-to for this. Skip grenades, as I mentioned, are the top grenade. Your other choices are the former top grenade of Arc Bolt and Flux grenades, which is just a rebranding of the trade nade fusions. Your super has the choice of Showstopper, which is deal damage in an area around you. It is not enough damage to kill a full health guardian, so not my recommendation there. Razor's Edge, which is basically a miniature shockwave, and that does do enough damage to kill in a straight line for about as long as a shockwave of a Fist of Havoc. And Vanish, which allows you to go invisible on the activation of your super and upon pressing the appropriate button while in your super. Vanish does see its play, but my recommendation is Razor's Edge. Lots and lots and lots of people like to try to counter a Blade Dance with a shotgun melee, and this is your counter for that counter. Use Razor's Edge in a straight line ahead of you. Those guys will set up and wait for you, and it's up to you to surprise them with Razor's Edge. Quite often, in my use of my Blade Dancer, I will see two or even three people set up waiting to shotgun melee. Never see it coming, and I'll get a triple or a double kill just off of a single button press in my blade. The melee, I prefer to use fast twitch on my melee. That's because I'm primarily a shotgunner, but even as a sniper, I prefer it over backstab and vanish, whatever it is, escape artist. So your choices are backstab, which grants extra damage if you stab an enemy from behind. It's actually enough to kill most enemies that are in roaming supers. Then you've got escape artist, which turns you invisible upon successful melee. Not all that useful in the Crucible. And fast twitch, which grants you a melee recharge of about 5 seconds. I find that to be the most useful choice, since you do get extra damage from a charged melee. So as a shotgunner, this allows you to maybe miss your shot a little bit, to whiff slightly, to not get the full damage from your shot, and still clean somebody up with a charged melee that, if used in proper conjunction with another perk, will also regenerate your health. As far as jumps go, I haven't mentioned this on any of the others because it really wasn't important, but for your hunter, you want better control as a shotgunner and blink as a sniper. You don't want to try to blink shotgun. This ain't your one. You do have a slight handling delay. It's just a few frames, but that few frames matters in pulling your weapon after you blink. When you try to shotgun, more often than not, that delay will actually get you killed. So better control is your best bet. This also allows you to play more vertically, rather than having to be either at ground level or in your single jump. So you want to stick with better control for the most part. Blink if you're sniping. Moving on to the middle tree perks. There are two great options in the middle tree. You have Fleet Footed, which increases your sprint speed and slide distance, which for slide shotgunners is a pretty big deal. You have Quick Draw, which grants you Quick Draw. I mean, that's it. It gives you the perk Quick Draw on every single gun. That's huge, folks. That's an exotic perk. The Ophidian Aspect has this as an exotic perk, and you get to select this just in your regular build. Of all the perks in Destiny, I'd say that is probably the most used perk. Your third choice is Shadow Jack, which increases the duration of your invisibility effects. Shadow Jack really isn't that important. Invisibility is, for the most part, a gimmick in Crucible. My recommendation is Quick Draw. As a passive perk, it will always, always, always be an effect. And you really can't ask for much more than Quick Draw on all your guns. This allows you, say, for a sniper rifle to choose a sniper rifle that has snapshot instead of quick draw, and you're now gaining both benefits on a sniper rifle that you would normally have to choose just one on. The final column, you have Encore, which increases your arc blade duration on kill. It actually doesn't increase enough to make up for the energy you'd spend getting that kill, so don't recommend. You have Stalker, which allows you to crouch to go invisible. You have to crouch for a few seconds in place. Again, invisibility is more of a gimmick. If your opponent doesn't already know that you have invisibility selected from seeing your character, they're going to know the first time you do it. It's a one-time gimmick, and it's not that useful. And your final choice is Hungering Blade, which allows you to regenerate health immediately upon super and melee kills. As a Blade Dancer focused on melee in general, that's really a wonderful perk to have. You're going to regenerate your kill on a fast twitch kill. It has to be a charged melee, excuse me. So fast twitch, again, in conjunction with Hungering Blade, is highly, highly useful. It will proc on a Razor's Edge kill, so you don't have to get within that range to set yourself up for a trade with a shotgun melee to use. And all around, really, it's just more useful than the other two. So, quickly moving on to the exotics for Hunters, Blade Dancers. My number one overall choice for this is Shinobu's Vow. These make the already very, very strong, very, very annoying skip grenades even stronger and more annoying. They track you further, and now your hunter has two of them. I'll tell you what, the first week of trials in Rise of Iron, those made my runs hell. Two skip grenades is more than enough to kill one guardian. And on last exit, those tracked me pretty much across the map every single round. They're brutal, folks. These are great, great gauntlets. The second place for the exotic slot, I would probably have to give to the ATS-8 Tarantella. This increases, or decreases rather, your cooldown time for both your super and your grenades. At tier 5 intellect, this decreases your super cooldown by about 30 seconds. At tier 5 discipline, it's 3 seconds. Which, you know, 3 seconds off of 25 seconds doesn't sound like all that big of a deal, but when you're in the heat of a match, that's more useful than you'd think it is. Third place will go to a tie between the Bones of EIEIO and the Frosties, both of which are strong in their own unique ways. The Bones give you an extra jump to go with your better control jump, and the Frosties decrease the cooldown time on your grenades and melee while you're sprinting. Not necessarily important for a fast twitch Blade Dancer, but if you are using Backstab or Escape Artist, that's going to be nice. And of course, a faster cooldown on your skip grenades is always going to hurt the other team.
So just jumping back kind of through that subclass, I mean, I think you kind of nailed a lot of the key points that people need to know about the Blade Dancer. It's a pretty established class. You know, it was so dominant for a while with Blink and shotguns in year one that I think people kind of spent a lot of time figuring out how to make it work. Can't overstate the value of quick draw, like you said. I don't think that was exaggeration at all to go on about it like that, or even for me to say something about it again. It's so, so good. When I was talking earlier about pumping rounds into a juggernaut and then swapping to a shotgun and taking them down, the reason that I can get away with that and do that is because I had quick draw. And so I could pump out 3 palindrome shots while they're running, instantly have a shotgun ready for the close range encounter where we're now on even footing. It's so, so good. Don't really think I could add anything else other than just to say that I don't even remember how to play on a hunter that's not using Bones of Yao anymore. I just forget that there are other exotics for hunters, so thank you for the reminder. I'll have to revisit that. I know they're sitting there in my vault waiting for me.
If you do have the Shinobu's Vow, they're so good. They're overpowered, in my opinion.
You know, I got the drop, and I just failed to take the time to really experiment with them. I feel like the tracking is so dirty on those grenades already. I did, didn't entirely feel morally right, which is not something that stops me from doing things in Destiny. It was really just I like my bones.
Yeah, in terms of your super things, I just want to talk for a little bit about Vanish and how it works with the super. So it used to be a while back that going invisible, you still blinked pretty frequently on the radar, and it didn't really help much because it's already got a really loud activation noise. Everyone knows you've gone invisible. Everyone knows that someone has gone invisible. And then on top of that, you still showed up on the radar, and you were still pretty visible. You were basically just blue and transparent. Everyone could still see you. They actually changed that. I don't think they put it in the patch notes or did anything, but they made invisibility harder to see. And I don't know if that was a purposeful change to invisibility, but it came about when they started to update the graphics to make the graphics look a little bit better. And now invisibility is much more difficult to see. In my experience, you also show up on the radar far less frequently when you're invisible now than you used to. There are long periods of time where you're not on the radar when you're moving. And it's still not useful in 3v3, really, because it's too easy to keep track of all the players in 3v3. Even if one of them goes invisible, there's only so many choke points. There's only so many ways they're going to attack. They're still going to know where you're coming from. They're still going to know that you're invisible. But in sixes, you can really get lost in the chaos when you're invisible. And you can use it to sneak up on people who maybe heard it activate, but weren't exactly sure where it was. And there's red all over their screen from other people who are coming to attack them, and then you just sneak in the back. And I've used it, you know, pretty well in things like Rift or Clash or something like that. But definitely agree with you that I would not recommend that for competitive game types or trials. Like you said, it is a gimmick, you know.
On that note, yeah, I did notice that it got harder to see, I think, as the graphics got updated. I think you're absolutely right that it was kind of a, I don't know if I would call it like a stealth buff, but maybe just an unintended consequence of improving the game's appearance, that whatever it was that was giving invisibility away is no longer as much of a factor. That said, somebody who's invisible and in motion is just not hard to track. You can see them coming, you can land headshots. All it takes is a little bit of practice, seeing it happen once or twice, and you'll get it done. But somebody who's invisible and standing still, or standing in a shadow, a shotgunner who runs around a corner, goes invisible, you know, they have an opportunity to pop out and get the jump, and you won't quite detect them as fast as you would as if they weren't invisible. So it's a slight, not totally worthless edge, but still, I would agree with the gimmick train.
Well, I use it mostly to prevent myself from showing up on radar for long enough to, if there's like a split and I can go left or right. And normally you'd go left, but I go invisible and I go right. The guy's aimed at the left door and then I come through the right. I don't use it to actually like run straight at someone. And, you know, I use it to get into a position when they might not expect me to be there because I was off radar for just enough time to where they lost me. Maybe they scoped out, checked their radar, I was somewhere, scoped back in, and now I'm somewhere else that they weren't expecting necessarily. And, I mean, it's definitely a gimmick, but I can't help it. I'm one of those gimmick-type players. I play Weapons of Light on my Defender. I play Invisibility on the Blade Dancer. I do ridiculous things just because I think that's part of the fun of the game. But, you know, I understand where the lines to be drawn between being competitive and invisibility has the line far on the other side of it. Invisibility is not a competitive strategy. I just enjoy messing around in sixes with it.
So we're going to go ahead and move on to the Gunslinger subclass. For this subclass, I recommend Intellect Discipline. I know some people do like to use their throwing knives far more frequently than most players, but I'm just going to be honest, that takes a lot of practice, and it's far, far easier to throw a grenade than it is to throw a throwing knife and land a headshot. So we're going to go with Intellect Discipline. My recommendations for the grenades. As it stands right now, the Trip Mine is still a good grenade. It is no longer a great grenade. You can't stick people with it. And most of the time now, you're not going to get a one-shot kill with the Trip Mine. So my recommendation actually goes to the Incendiary Grenade, as recommended on the Sunbreaker Titan. You can still get one-shot kills with the Incendiary Grenade. Even if you don't kill them with the explosion, you can kill them with the burn. So keep an eye out for those. For your super, you have the choice of Deadeye, which I believe increases your damage by 50% now, while making you more accurate. Combustion, which makes enemies killed by your golden gun explode, and that deals enough damage to kill another player that was standing pretty much right beside him, but still, it happens frequently enough to make it worth using. And can't remember the name of the third one, but it reduces your passive cooldown on the super by 30 seconds.
Gunfighter,
thank you. So Gunfighter reduces the passive cooldown by 30 seconds. It does nothing for active cooldown, which is getting kills, picking up orbs, etc., etc., capturing points. But out of all those, I'd have to recommend Deadeye. The extra damage, while nice, isn't essential. It's really the extra accuracy that I like. You know, it's always good when your bullets go where you're aiming them. So anything that makes that more likely to happen is going to be a very solid, dependable choice. As far as your jumps go, better control still. And on your throwing knife, we're going to go with Incendiary Blade. Again, you want burn damage. It keeps your opponent from regenerating health, can potentially kill them, and it lets you know where they're at all times.
Yeah, I mean, I use Incendiary Blade on my throwing knives just because it's the most infuriating ever to hit someone with a throwing knife and just watch them run away or watch them escape or something like that. I like the fact that I can track them. I like the fact that it continues to damage them, prevents their shields from regenerating. All those things that you love about lighting people on fire, and you feel like you kind of deserve it when you hit a nice Incendiary Blade headshot. Plus, the fact that it does a lot of damage, I can tap someone with a body shot from most of the primaries. Every hand cannon, I'm pretty sure at least, and then hit them in the head with a throwing knife and they're going to die from it. That damage nerf was, in my opinion, a little bit uncalled for. I can count on zero hands the number of times I killed someone with a singular throwing knife headshot. I mean, there's a line in the game that says something, you could tell an arrogant gunslinger when they throw the throwing knife first. And it's like, nobody does that because that's incredibly difficult. It's almost always used as a cleanup kill. So I don't know why they nerfed it, but it has made it a little bit more difficult. But I mean, you can one tap with the palindrome and then throw a throwing knife and just run away and know they're going to die. And just like with that, it's the reason why I use incendiary grenades too. You see that 170 pop up, they start ticking sevens, they're going down. Sucks for them, but it's funny and it's enjoyable. It's one of the things I like about that, like about the subclass a lot.
Yeah, I would agree with the throwing knife choice there. Knife juggler is good if you spend a ton of time practicing that exact strategy of hand cannon headshot followed by a throwing knife. You can do some really disgusting things with knife juggler, but it takes two things to happen there. It takes A, you not missing shots, and then B, it takes all of your opponents running in with their heads at the right level, nobody playing smart, essentially, which, you know, if you're a good player going into some situations, you maybe can get away with, but you're not going to do it twice. And then Circle of Life actually does a huge amount of reduction to Golden Gun's cooldown, but it happens so rarely that you're better off just going with the burn. I have to agree. There's the other two abilities are cool, and you can make use of them in PvE, but in PvP, there's not another choice that makes any sense.
If I recall correctly, just to quickly throw this out here, I believe Circle of Life extends your Golden Gun's duration when you get the kill with the throwing knife. It doesn't reduce your cooldown.
That was a recent patch. It did do that, but it was changed because they realized that nobody was using it. For that reason, because if you have Golden Gun, you're using the Golden Gun and not a throwing knife. So they changed it to take the cooldown down. I can tell you're not a hunter main, okay. Because reasons.
Alright, thank you very much then. So moving on, really the only recommendation I have left to make are the exotics, because the passive trees on the Gunslinger, you know, Scavenger, Gunslinger's Trance, all that.
I have to jump in here because Scavenger is ridiculously powerful. It is so far and away the clear choice, it is not even funny. In any game mode, there is no reason not to choose Scavenger. You can get your melee and grenade recharges down so much lower just by grabbing the special and the primary ammo off of ammo boxes. If you're really careful, you can leave sometimes one of those ammos sitting there and come back for it later. And I mean, you're going to be throwing, if you use it well, a ton of grenades. I guess a ton of throwing knives too, if that's really your thing. I use those as like my fallback. If I try to melee somebody and my tiny little hunter T-Rex arms can't reach them, the throwing knife triggers and I hit them after all. But Scavenger is awesome. If you're not using Scavenger, I mean, we can't be friends.
And like we said last time, you should be picking up every single ammo crate you see anyways. So Scavenger is just playing off that. Every single time you run past an ammo crate, you need to be grabbing it. So, you know, I run Scavenger myself, and I notice it a lot. I always have grenades. I run High Discipline as well, but I always have grenades, and I always have throwing knives. I never have to worry about my abilities being up on a gunslinger.
Yeah.
All right, so help me out here real quick. On the final column for Gunslinger, I know there is Gambler's Dagger, which gives you a second throwing knife. There is, I believe, Chain of Woe, which increases your reload speed on precision kills. I can't recall the other option for that final tree.
Over the Horizon is your final option.
Increases your golden gun range. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, for me, none of those really affect my playstyle. I usually go with Gambler's Dagger just because it doesn't, I don't know. An extra throwing knife is better than nothing else that helps me.
Yeah, well, Chain of Woe is like a poor man's outlaw. You know, it builds up to it. It's not fantastic. It really isn't great. You would take a second melee over Outlaw any day, right? And then Over the Horizon used to do absolutely nothing at all, but they did actually decrease the range of Golden Gun a while back, and it kind of sets it back to those pre-nerf levels, which is great. But honestly, I don't know in what circumstances you'd ever really be sniping with a Golden Gun, considering that there are no huge maps left in the Crucible player pool right now, or in the Crucible map pool. So, I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me that the best choice is Gamblers, you know, and that's what I run too. So I like two throwing knives.
Yeah, about the only place that I see Over the Horizon used is sometimes in PvE, if people are trying to Celestial Nighthawk a boss and they're stuck a little bit further away. It does actually make a difference in some situations with the damage drop-off. I don't really see people using Chain of Woe, and I play with a few other Hunter mains as well, who it's Gambler's Dagger or sometimes Over the Horizon, like I said, if you're gonna Nighthawk. So
I'm gonna go through the exotics for the Gunslinger real quick. So at the top of the list for Gunslinger exotics, I have the Aculophage Symbiote. This grants you an extra golden gun shot. It no longer reduces your golden gun duration, so you have full golden gun duration to use four of your shots now.
Alright, one note real fast though, it actually does still reduce it. I just looked at the patch notes, but it takes it from 12 seconds to 10 seconds. It used to take it from 12 seconds to 9 seconds. That's so it's still pretty hefty penalty.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people getting excited because they removed the penalty the last patch. I guess I didn't see that.
They reduced it. The actual wording was reduced. Penalty is reduced. And then I think Gentlectual did some testing on Crucible playbook and said it was 10 seconds instead of 12. So there we go.
In second place, I have to put the ubiquitous Bones of EIEIO for the extra jump. And I don't want to take up the third slot with Frosties, so I'm going to include the Frosties as tied for second place with the Bones of EIEIO. Again, because you really get more use out of your melee having a quicker recharge with the Gunslinger than you do with the Blade Dancer for the most part. And of course, it recharges your grenade a little more quickly as well. The final slot for the Gunslinger, you could have potentially the young Ahamkara Spine if you wanted to have double trip mines. As while I recommended the incendiary grenades, the trip mines are still viable. You could have a multitude of others, really. So I'm going to let you guys chime in on that.
I think I pretty much agree with that list. The one thing I would mention is that Young Ahamkara's spine in any mayhem mode is just, I mean, I don't have, like, an appropriate word for how ridiculous it is. I had a moment recently here. I took down multiple Sunbreakers in the same match using Trip Mines only. My controller's, I think, on its way out, and my left stick in particular is incredibly untrustworthy. It makes it very difficult for me to sprint, even with Memory of Yolder. Sometimes it makes it difficult for me to look in different directions. So I was on Icarus inside, staring at the door where all of the bad guys were coming from, just layering it with Trip Mines. I'd hear Sunbreaker, and I'm like, oh, let me throw a couple extra Trip Mines over there. I see boom, boom, he comes running through the door and explodes and dies. About 5 minutes later, the same thing happened, and about 5 minutes, well, not 5 minutes later, about 2 minutes later, somebody else comes through, same thing happens. Incredibly fun. Is it a OP strategy? Would I do it in any other mode? No, probably not.
In terms of exotics, I like the Bones of Yao. I mean, that ability to have a distinct controllable jump and then have another one of them plays perfectly into any type of aerial gameplay, be it hand cannons as a primary, sidearms as a secondary. The ability to jump in the air and someone expect you to land and then jump again is great for baiting people into doorways. It's great for taking avenues of attack that they normally wouldn't expect. So I think that's one of the best perks. It's not a gunslinger specific, but just for hunters in general, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I would second that. I said it earlier. I guess I'll say it again. I might say it again when we talk about Night Stalkers. I forget that there are exotics other than bones in actual gameplay, except I talked about the spine, but that's when I'm goofing around. Otherwise, 9 times out of 10, I'm running bones. Just because it's always helpful. It's always good.
But let's go ahead and move on to the Night Stalker. And to start out, for the Night Stalker, the only split you should ever run is Discipline Strength. The Night Stalker has still one of the strongest neutral games available, even with the slight neutering. Neutering is really too strong of a word. It was only slightly debuffed of the Wombo combo. As far as perk choices go, I prefer the Void Wall Grenade. This grenade really leaves it at a 50-50 chance. Even if somebody tries to jump out of it, if they mess up, they're going to land back on that Void Wall Grenade. We're just going to go north, south, east, west. They've got two directions they can choose. The other two, they're going to land back on that grenade, potentially killing themselves. For the super, Black Hole. Quiver is nice. Quiver also has no range. You're essentially trading that incredible tether, super neutralization, movement neutralization ability for a slower, crappy tracking golden gun that doesn't kill supers on impact. So really, Black Hole is the only option. Envenomed is my choice for your smoke. Your other choices are invisibility on throwing a smoke grenade, which, as we've mentioned before, except for some situations in sixes, mostly a gimmick. And Snare, which is the second place choice, and it's honestly not that bad. Snare allows you to stick a smoke bomb to any surface, whereon purple concentric rings will come out from it, and anybody who trips those rings will suddenly be engulfed in a cloud of Night Stalker smoke, which really isn't all that bad. It can cause some severe problems for whoever gets stuck in it unwittingly. But in your middle tree, you've got the choices between Courage of the Pack, which increases recovery and, I believe, armor for your teammates upon tethered kills, Light of the Pack, which drops extra orbs on tethered kills, and Lockdown, which increases the duration of smoke and grenade effects, I believe, from 4 seconds to 8 seconds. In general, this is the choice you should be going for in Crucible. Light of the Pack does see some use as a tool to make orbs for your team. Just like what I mentioned with Stormcaller and Transcendence, if you really want that, you can switch to it just before you use your super. Otherwise, stick with Lockdown. It's way too useful. In your final column, you have choices between Keen Scout, which grants you enhanced radar. It makes you crouch and sprint, or it makes you sneak, which is crouch walking, and sprint faster. And it allows you to mark enemies by either aiming down sights at them or by damaging them with an ability or a bullet. This tracking effect has a pretty decent timer for cooldown, about 4 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. You can track them through walls, you can watch them go anywhere. You know, it's a great tool. It's like burn damage, but way more accurate. Your middle choice is Predator, which allows you to stick your shadow shot to walls similar to Snare, and it will reach out and snatch whatever enemy walks by it. This really, you know, this was really, really nice on King's Fall when you're trying to kill ogres. This is really, really, really bad for Crucible because, you know, it's not going to fool too many people. And the final iconic choice is Shade Step. Formerly, you had two Shade Steps that you could use before the cooldown kicked in. Unfortunately, you only have one. That does not change the fact that it is an incredibly powerful ability. It's great for crossing little doorway gaps, getting yourself out of range of somebody rushing you, getting yourself back into cover. It's a great movement. It's a great evade ability. It still allows you to break the tracking effect from grenades, such as skip grenades or Axion bolts. So all around, great choice. Normally I recommend Shade Step, however, if you use the exotic Graviton Forfeit, so you're given Shade Step, which means you can choose Keen Scout. Keen Scout, honestly, is on the same level as Shade Step as far as how useful it is. So we're going to use this to segue into my exotic recommendations, where the Graviton Forfeit is still the number one choice, because the combination of Keen Scout and Shade Step is just wonderful. I mean, it's beautiful. Those are two of the strongest passive abilities in the game. So, you know, running a Night Stalker, take advantage of those. The second place exotic for the Night Stalker would be the Frosties. Frosties were chosen because we've gone over this twice already. They decrease, your grenade and melee cooldown, and I haven't mentioned how much yet, but they cut it in half while you're sprinting. So you can have your grenade and melee recharged in 12 and a half seconds opposed to 25, meaning you can essentially cover a map in wombo combos 4 seconds after the last wombo combo stop cease to exist. In third place, we have a toss-up between the Sealed Ahamkara Grasp, which grant you two melees. Two smoke grenades is... this is what I ran on my Night Stalker for the longest time. It's very, very useful. Allows you to wombo combo and then have another emergency smoke bomb for when you need it. And the ubiquitous Bones of EIEIO, which, as we've covered, grants you an additional jump, which, you know, it's good to take advantage of, because I recommend the better control jump for the Night Stalker as well.
Yeah, as far as Night Stalker goes, I run Graviton Forfeit. I mean, you can't overstate how important having Shade Step and Keen Scout is, and you wouldn't believe how many people forget that they're being hunted when Keen Scout activates too. They don't even notice it on the side of their screen, and you'll see people kind of waver behind a corner and then peek their heads out. It's like, man, I knew you were going to do that. I've been watching you the whole time. Like, what are you thinking? You know? So Keen Scout is fantastically, fantastically useful. If you wombo combo somebody and they escape behind a wall, you know exactly where they're going. You know whether they're going to sit there and wait for you to push. You know whether they're gone and you're clear to move into that room to take map control. And having Shade Step, it breaks Axion Bolt grenade tracking, which is amazing. It breaks skip grenade tracking, which is amazing. I mean... it's such a useful jack of all trades thing that I cannot express how useful Shade Step is. And on top of that, it's a wonderful actual evade tool. When someone is charging you with a shotgun and you can do a little sidestep and then Shade Step on top of it, you'd be surprised how many people lose you, especially if you jump once you're out of their actual line of sight. That radar is not going to tell you where you are when you're that close. And you can really get some people turned around with it. I've seen some very, very good plays by people using it to their advantage. And not being able to use it twice in a row is definitely something that needed to happen, because people were abusing that and really, really running circles around people. So I can understand that. But it's Graviton Forfeit all the way for me as far as exotics go. And I run Nightstalker probably second most of any class behind Gunslinger in PvP right now. So that's just my two cents.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Hunter, like I said, is my main. I probably run Nightstalker as often as not in general or on average over the last several months, although lately I've just been having too much fun on Blade Dancer to even talk about. I think I kind of fall into like the world's laziest hunter mode, where I just don't like to swap out for bones unless I have a really specific reason to do so. Part of the struggle for me lately has been that I have to pick which exotics I'm going to infuse up. And so if you're in that same situation, if you're still leveling up, as a lot of people are, you know, not everybody is able to get ranked up, and we understand that. I think if you have to choose one hunter exotic to infuse up, you heard it mentioned so many times tonight, because it's, if not the best exotic for every subclass, it's at least a good exotic for every subclass, and that's bones. It's good in PvP, it's good in PvE, it's good across the board, and that's why, like I said, I've been the world's laziest hunter lately, and I've just run bones in every situation. But once I start to rebuild my store of exotic shards and rebuild my infusion fuel, I do expect to probably follow you on that keen scouting, shade stepping journey of fun. So that's about all I have to say about that one, though. I think you otherwise pretty much nailed it.
You want to bring this to a close?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much it, guys. I hope you've enjoyed all three parts of the subclass breakdown by Cougar that ended up being about as in-depth as you could possibly get. I don't know what we're going to do next week, but I know we're going to have a fantastic show. I don't think we're going to do another multi-segment thing like we did here. It's a lot of editing work for me, but we're definitely going to come back with something great. Hopefully we'll all be enjoying Festival of the Lost and celebrating Halloween and everything like that. I don't know if will we be able to record next Monday night, since it is Halloween? We all have things to do.
I mean, my daughter is going to be in bed on time regardless, because three-year-olds don't get to stay up late. It doesn't happen.
And it's a Monday night, so they got things to do the next day anyways. I will be turning off all my lights and pretending like I don't have any candy for children when they come by the house.
That's true. Next week's podcast will be a series of interrupting children.
Yeah, knock at the door.
Oh, God.
All right, well, let's call next week a mystery episode then, going with the theme of Halloween and trick-or-treat. So we'll have a mystery episode coming out for you guys next Wednesday, hopefully. And in the meantime, if you have any questions about any of the stuff that you've heard tonight, I know it was a lot of information to process. That's why we are breaking it up into multiple segments. So you can listen to them, maybe go back and re-listen to a specific part and not get caught up in almost 2 hours of a podcast. But if you have any things, you can always find me on Twitter at Mercules904, on Reddit. As always, I've been trying to be very active there. On YouTube, you can find Cougar on Twitch, you can find Kutch on Twitter as well, and all of us on Reddit, though somewhat less so now that the Gunsmith has become such a disappointing process every Wednesday. But
yeah,
any other ways to contact y'all?
Twitter really is probably the best way to get a hold of me. I'm pretty active on there, even when I'm working, when I'm traveling, when I'm doing other things, and I don't always have time to get back to Reddit. You'll definitely find me there. One place I want to just mention briefly that you will find both myself and Cougar is the new Destiny Private Matches subreddit. which was founded shortly after Rise of Iron. He and I both recently were brought in as moderators on that subreddit, so you'll probably see a little bit of activity on that end. I guess I've got some plans to do a little bit of science via that subreddit, so check that out if you're interested in getting involved. I know Cougar has some big plans on the horizon as well, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about what he wants to do with it. But yeah, Twitter for me, for sure.
To continue on that string, definitely are some plans for that subreddit. Keep an eye out, possibly for a tournament in the future, based in the Destiny Private Matches subreddit.
All right, cool. Well, with those closing remarks, we'll see you guys next week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Bye.